wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
War and poverty.
Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
We've been beat bad.
I love that song. It's so fun. Hey, give me 1 second. Hey, wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking, positive thinking ahead. Celebrate Black history. Say it loud. I'm Black and I'm proud. And I am proud. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am just so happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family. Focusing on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay, keep that in mind. And as always, we want to start with the scripture and prayer. We're going to give God his time first, okay? So I'm going to be reading scripture from Psalm 78, 1 through 8. That's Psalm 78, 1 through 8. And it says, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes of Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. And they will put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. You know? Train up a child. We have to teach them in order to reach them. Okay, we're going to say a prayer. Lord God, we enter in your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have to, and all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for the Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that this broadcast is used and venue is used to help us bring back the family in the manner that you mean for families to operate. And Lord God, please bring back the family, provide a way to help our children to do what it is you have for them to do. Okay, Lord, please help the parents to give them what is needed to make it in this world. Help the parents. Help the parents to give the youth what they need to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is you. Father God, you have ordained that bring back the family, concentrate on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded, that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak, and to them that are listening, let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. All right. Yes. So bring back the family. Bring back the family. Welcome, everybody. It's a show that's designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, you know, educationally, professionally, and spiritually, in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. But we have to show them and give them and give them a head start. Excuse me. My dad always said, all they need is a good foundation. All the kids need is a good foundation. That's all they need, something solid to stand on. And, you know, so that means it can be made. So that what Bring Back the Family is about, You know, we're all in this together. And so that's what, you know, bringing back the family is about. Our youth, they need an overhaul, a chance to start over, have a new beginning, a bogey, a new start, a do-over. Yeah, because if we don't help them, again, we will be victims of not helping later. So if we don't help them now, we, the ones listening, and then we'll be victims of not helping later. So as we were saying before on the show after show, start. We're going to start with block by block, okay? Just check out, you know, the youth, and the kids, the children on your own block, in your own home, your neighbor up the block. You know, take an assessment and just dig in. Just dig in. Buy some books. Get them some assignments. You know, have some conversations with them. Let them know that we care about them, you know, and that we really need them, because we do need them. They're the next generation, you know, that's going to run this world. And so we do need them. We have to let them know that we need them right now for later, okay, that they count and they belong here because they are here. You know, God allowed them to be here, and he has a plan for their lives, you know. No one in this world has gotten where they are by themselves. They had some kind of help, family help. You know, they had some kind of help, you know, and we all know that. So who helped you? Okay. How did you make it? And so are we really interested in helping our youth? Do we want the best for our youth and our children? Let's think about it. Look at our world, our community, look around us and what's going on. Do you like everything that we're seeing? How are we going to help? What sacrifices are we going to make to help our youth be the best that they can be? You know, why are we here? Why are we living? What contributions are we going to make? You know, what are we going to do for God before we leave here? Okay? It's important that we talk to the youth. Tell them, like I said, how important they are and how we need them, what their role is. And we all have gifts. All these little people have some gifts. And if we just talk to them and just spend a little time just talking to them about, you know, what they like, what moves them, you know, what they feel, you know, that they want to be later, you know. What is it that they really like? What do they like that, you know, that they really love, that they know that they want would do for free one day? If they could understand that, you know. The little ones, we really have to just kind of, you know, give them some books and let them read and just tell them some positive things about, you know, who they're going to be and what they're going to be, and call them positive things, you know, little doctor, little lawyer, little teacher, you know. And just, you know, we got to let them know we need them. Because they all have gifts. And don't you want to see those gifts be manifested later? Man, that's a good picture to look at right now. You know, just knowing that these little people that we're looking at right now, one day are going to be adults. And they're going to be in their roles. They're going to be doing some good, positive things because we're going to teach them. Okay? We had a church for the kids today. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful sight, a beautiful picture. Because when you see those kids, you know that, you know, okay, we got work to do. That inspires me to want to do more work, you know, for the kids. So I was talking to a young man today. I work with kids in residential, and they have to call me when they're home on their visits. And so I spoke with him today, and, you know, I was getting ready for church, but I had to, you know, the Spirit told me just talk to him, you know, and I just let him know how important he is and his life is, how important his life is, and told him about these different systems, you know, that they're in. And I was like, why would you let someone wrangle over your life? It's your life. Hug yourself. It's yours. Hug yourself. Feel yourself. You're real, you know. And you have to let them know, you know. I talked to him for a good little while. You know, maybe a little late for church, but it was worth talking to him. And just letting them know that he is important, that we really, really need him. We need him to make a difference in this world. We need him as a man to protect us. He has lots of little siblings. They need you to protect them. You know, they need you to be the role model. So it's important to talk to young people because you never know what you're going to say that's going to help them and that's going to encourage them to want to do something. So I ask them all those important questions. Well, what do you want to do? What do you love to do? What's your gift? You know, what has God given you? I said, because you have a gift, you know. And he said he wanted to be, physical therapist? No, do therapy. And so I thought he meant maybe physical therapy, but he wants to be like a social worker and talk to people because that's what he's getting at. He's getting help, you know, with his issues that he has. And so now he wants to be a social worker, you know. So at least he had that in his mind, you know. So I gave him an assignment to do once he got back to his program. I gave him an assignment to do the look up. What you have to do in order to be what you want to be, you know. By the time I finished talking to him, I felt like he was encouraged. But we have to talk to our young people. It don't matter if they're your young people or not. Just young people are who they are. Let's talk to them. Let's be interested in them and let them know that we're interested in them, you know. Let them know that they can call on you, you know, for advice and some support and some direction. Because we big people. We adults now. We had somebody that helped us do whatever it was that we needed done. So let them know that we're available. Give them the support that they need. You know, these kids need help. We didn't get where we are by ourselves. Somebody helped us and somebody gave us some support. Okay? I went to church today, and our pastor, he talked about when he was going to church and some of the mothers in church saw that he didn't have on the proper shoes. And I forget what kind of shoes he said he had on, but in other words, they weren't proper. And the mothers of the church came up to him and asked him to go to the store with them and to not get offended. And they went and took him and brought him some shoes, okay? And then he had a pin in his shirt or something like that, pin together. And then they went and brought him some shirts and some clothes, you know, so that he could look presentable. And that's how, you know, they did it back in the day. You know, if they saw a kid or somebody that needed something, if they weren't dressed properly or they felt like they needed something, they would just go and do it, okay? And so I thought that was cool, you know. It just took me back to whereas, you know, when we were a community, and we still are, that people helped each other back then. When they looked at you and saw a need, they just jumped in and helped, okay? They jumped in and helped. And so that's how we're trying to get back to. They saw a need, you know, they looked at the child, they saw a need, probably didn't ask no questions or did ask questions, but they made sure that they made sure he had what he needed to do whatever it is that he was going to do, like just like the kids and the youth that's going off to college and school and kids that's playing sports and different things and support them in what they're doing. Support them. Little girl at church today, she went around. This is London, I think her name is London. And she was in church, and one of the ladies was taking her around, teaching her how to help. so we had our communion, and so she had her little baggie going around with the communion, with the baggie to get the empty cups and put the, you know, the empty cups in the communion, helping, you know, volunteering. And so she's going around to the members and getting their little empty cups from their communion. And I saw a person reach in their pocket and give her, you know, some dollars. And I just thought that was cool. So that's encouragement. That's encouragement. And they do what they see you do. And so that's encouraging for her to next time they're not gonna have to come and get her. She's just gonna get up and do it. Okay, so that's just some encouragement. You know, that's how we're supposed to do our kids, encourage them to just to help and to serve and to volunteer. If we don't show them, they won't know how to do it, you know. So we, like I said, we had a whole bunch of little babies in the church today and kids, and that was really, really good to see. They coming back. Okay. Let's see what else it was. And so let people know about this broadcast. You know, when I send it to you, then you send it to somebody. It's not just for you to keep. It's for you to send it to somebody. You send it to 10, 15 people, and the next person, they'll send it to somebody. So that's how things catch on. You know, you send it. So once I send out the information, you guys send it to other people so that everybody could get in on this, okay? Just the awareness of that we're trying to help the kids to do better and to be better individuals is good. You know, anybody want to help a kid, you know, especially the thought of us being victims later. We should really want to help them, okay? So let this catch fire and let's just keep it going, you know, start encouraging the youth when we see them. And just any little thing, you know, that we do for a kid, they remember that. They'll remember it, okay? And so what else was it? Pastor was talking about, you know, the help, and he was saying that when you do something for someone like that, that God gets all the glory. I say it like God got people. He got people. So whatever it is someone is doing for you, it's coming, really coming from God through that person, okay? Because he got people. So he owns everything, okay? Everything. So us holding back ain't helping us, no, not one bit, us holding back. You have to give. Give in order to receive. You have to give. And the more you give, the more he's going to give to you to give. Okay? We keep holding on to what we have. Where is it going to go? What are we going to do with it? You know, we could save to the mountain, the hills come down. Why are we saving? You know, give some of that money to the kids. You know, invest in our communities. Buy some books for these babies. You know, encourage them. Give them some assignments. Those assignments and things only cost a dollar at the Dollar Tree, which everything is truly a dollar. Go out there and get some of those workbooks so that they can and give it to them and tell them to work on this. And then come back, they bring it, it's all done, you check it off, and then give them a few dollars to encourage them. Okay, it's starting to be nice out. You know, you have a bunch of kids and you see your neighborhood got a junky field or something in it. Get those kids together and teach them how to take care of their community that they live in around them. You know, let them help. Get some garbage bags and rakes and things like that and let them clean up their block. You know, they'll appreciate that. And then buy them some pizza. You know, buy them some pizza. Like I said, God is sending these people to do. He gives you what you need to make it. So you go buy a pizza, and it ain't going to cost you that much. God going to bless you for that. He's going to bless you for that. He got people. God got people. So, yeah, that was a good lesson today at our church. And I was happy to share it. Okay, so we have had a good 4 weeks of Black history, and I just want to, you know, kind of reflect back on what we've done. I found my little paperwork here. And like I said, share this broadcast, support the broadcast, support Bring Back the Family. I mean, if you want to see some change, if you really want to help, you know, I'm just one person, and I ain't nobody special or different. I just, you know, want to help. That's it. And I know it's not about getting attention or anything. It's truly about these kids. Y'all see that we in a turmoil is going on right now. You see that we have a lot going on with the youth. And they're just not getting their fair share. So let's just, you know, man up together. And even talked about love today. That, you know, we just need the love. You know, and love makes you do those kind of things. Love will make you go and help the youth or help somebody in need. Okay? But let's focus on our youth. You know, you see them going to school, encourage them. Holler out the door. Y'all be safe. Y'all learn something, you know. Make sure you bring back what you learned, you know. They just need all the encouragement that they can get. Okay? And we just using Bring Back the Family, you know, as a venue to do that, to help, okay? I think if we talk about it enough and people, you know, we talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, they'll be forced to think about the youth, okay? They'll be forced. So I want to talk about our Black History programs that we had this week, and I hope everybody, you know, enjoyed it. In the first week we had our very own Pastor Drew Overall and Kenny Joe McFall and Dr. Nico Gaston and Vanda Clyburn that talked about education, and it was very good. I hope everybody got somebody, and I thank them for participating. We had the next week we had our youth on our young adult and our college participants, college graduates, some going in, some coming out. We had Shania Cox, we had Dantavious Brannigan, Jordan Cox, Shelby Ritchie, and Anthony Cox Jr. Dynamic, excellent children, you know. They are great, great, great young adults. So proud of them. They're doing great things, and they are our future. They are truly our future. And expect to see some great things going on with this group of kids. Expect to see some good, great things coming up, you know, where they're reaching back and they're helping, bringing the next person up, or group up, or kids up. Okay. Yeah. Then we had Dr. June Rogers, and then First Class Anthony Cox, Sergeant First Class Anthony Cox, Attorney Dion Cotillo, and retired Detroit Police Department Jeffrey M. Clyburn. And they talked about the law. Dr. Rogers talked about her book, The Boss of Me, no, Criminals, Hiring Criminal Professionals. They, you know, just talked about the law, and that was good. And I hope that everybody got something out of it. It's going to be more to come. We're going to start talking more about law so we can make sure our kids know what it is that they need to do in order to how to conduct themselves, you know, while they're, you know, if they ever ran into a problem with the law. And I think Attorney Patillo did talk about that quite a bit on the last show. Okay, yeah. She talked about, you know, what they should do if they're being pulled over, as far as don't say nothing. And we're going to have her on again real soon. And then the last show was Business and Entrepreneurship. It was John McFaul, Andrew Beaver. He did real estate investment and venture capitalist. And Jacqueline Vandergrift did the financial services. And like I said, Patillo, Deion Patillo, the attorney, she talked about law, being a lawyer and all of that. So just thank everybody for all of that. And I hope that everyone got something out of it. Let's see. Yeah. They were talking about having a good background, your record being clean. That was what Gene Rogers and that group was talking about, having a clean record, and how you could be disqualified from certain jobs if you don't tell the truth. And the business entrepreneurship was, you know, having your own business. Don't always have to go to school to get a job. You can use your education to start a business. You can go to college and get a business. It's not always about just getting a job. You can get a business. And so those are some of the things that we talked about. You could go back on the website and download those shows at our website, bbtfus.com. Okay? All right. That was some good stuff. Okay? And so today, we're going to, you know, just kind of continue on with business. If anybody want to have a word to say, want to have a word to say or shout out their business, we will be happy for you to do that. Let me see if we have somebody coming on doing some information today. So okay, let me see. Okay. All right. So we have you guys press one that's going to come on today and speak. We have let me see who we have today. Angelita Cox with her Angels Creations Moments to Memories photo booth, and Lauren Clyburn Mobile Fine Wine Tasting. Okay. And we have, so hit one. And then, okay, and so we have A.V. Avetrius Cowan that's going to do some announcements for us. Real, real good information. And I think we are ready for you, A.V. Twig, Avetrius Cowan. You are on. Okay.
Hi. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi. Can you hear me loud and clear? Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Yeah,
all right, everybody. Kathy wanted me to come on and get some of the information that I shared at church today. So I hope I cover everything that I provided at church today. One of the programs that I spoke about is DAPSAC, which is a program that's been around in the city of Detroit for a while, and they are actually going to be partnering with Ford Motor Company for a free program. Let me bring the information up. Let's see. Make sure I get the right information to you guys. So DAPSAC means Detroit Area Pre-College Engineering Program. And you can look those letters up, DAPCEP, online, and you can see what they're all about. They've been around for a long time, And they offer all type of classes from K through 12. But this program, they're going to be partnering with Ford Motor Company, and it's going to be a free program for 11th graders who are interested in learning coding and computer science. And they're going to be accepting applications until March 28th, and the classes will begin in April. So once again, it's going to be free with DAPSET and Ford Motor Company. Any kid that you know that's interested in coding and computer sciences, they can go to the DAPSET website and register for that program. Some more information from DAPSET. They're providing information and assistance for, it's $100,000 for Detroit students with the Michigan Chronicle and Huntington Bank. It's called the SWAG, Students Wired for Achievement and Greatness Scholarships. They are offering scholarships. The applications are available to April 1st. And if you go onto the website, it will give, like, the minimum requirements to apply for the scholarship. And then they're also going to be, DAPSET will also be partnering with Auto Engineers of Detroit. These are children that are interested in music. They say if the basic elements of music production and gain technical knowledge needed to create music using drum machines, keyboards, synthesizers, and software. They didn't say if this one was free or not, but the information is out there, and you can reach out to DAPSET and find out if that is a free program. And then also one more program that the city is offering, that they're partnering with Wayne State, and they have a program that's called Math Corps. And Math Corps is also a free program that's offered to the kids, and it's offered, it's through Wayne State, and it's Math Corp, C-O-R-P, at Wayne State University, and it's free to the kids, and kids that's having a problem with math. This is a great program. So this is offered to kids from grade 6 through 12, and they provide them with everything that they need. And they're taught by Wayne State engineering students. So that's an awesome program. My son participated in both those programs when he was in high school. And something else, just a reminder that currently you're able to get free copies of your credit report every week until the end of April. So you're able to download. You're able to download all three once a week until the end of April because of COVID. So take advantage of that so you can know what's on your credit reports and you can things you may be on there that you may need to get cleared up. Also, looking for jobs all in Michigan. And it's probably all over. The big three, they're currently hiring. You go to their website, and you just put in what you're looking for. And then they're hiring, like I said, they're hiring pretty quick. But one of the things I just have to stress is that when you're going to the big three, their biggest thing is being on time. They're hiring people, but people are unable to keep jobs because they can't get to work on time. So this is, remember, there's the big three. You get paid every week, and they're still union. So you're going to get union benefits and things like that. Also, an agency in Michigan that's called Wayne Metro. Anyone needing assistance, like for rent and plumbing issues or like child care and things like that, you can contact Wayne Metro, and they will. You can go on site, and they have so many different programs. They have different types of training and everything that's available. And also, they're also hiring, so you can also reach out to them. So the last couple things I want to talk about is internships and scholarships. There's scholarships. I know a lot of people think it's hard to get some scholarships, and some of them are well-known, and they're very competitive, but there are scholarships out there just for the simplest things. I helped a young man get a scholarship. He had to work with leather. It didn't say what type of leather, but he had to work with leather, and he worked at Foot Locker, and this was a $5,000 scholarship that he was able to get for, you know, two semesters. That was $10,000. So, I mean, you have to, sometimes you have to think out the box and just go and look for those scholarships and put in for it. And then also for all of our college students, if they're trying to figure out what they want to do, this is internships, summer internships. All companies, I've been looking at companies, that most companies got all these summer internships, and they're like, they have a ton of them. ZipRecruiter's listing a lot of them. Or just go to a company that you think you're interested in that field, and then type in internships, and if something's available, they will definitely let you know what's available, and you can put in for those. And that's a great opportunity. A lot of times, if you do your internships with these companies, a lot of times the companies, they want you, they hire you, you know, after your internships. So that's just something to think about. And I think that's all the information that I have today. I just want to thank everybody. Have a good one.
And that is some good information. Thank you, A.V. Avitris Cowan. That's our information station lady. Appreciate you. Okay. So, yes, govern yourself accordingly to all that good information. That set with the coding, computer service, music, Wayne State with the math core. You know, get our kids involved with all this free stuff that they have going on now. Some might cost, so it's a good investment, whatever, whether it's free or you have to pay for it, it's a good investment, okay? And so we talked about, you know, a lot of people wrote books. And so if you're interested in any of those books, you could go to the website, Bring Back the Family, bbtfus.com and rfcm.org, Running for Christ Ministries.org, and you could check out all the books that they had that all of these authors wrote for your reading. And, you know, our kids can write and do these things too. We had the Bible, God's Word to Us, the church that Jesus Christ built, and Jesus Christ from His Birth to His Ascension. That was a trilogy of books that Pastor O wrote, and you could go to his website if you want those. And then Dr. June Rogers had that Now Hiring Criminal Justice Professionals. Jonathan Tate had the book about his dad, Close But Not Close, good book. All these are good books. And then Andrew Beaver, who came on last week, and he's in everything. And so he has a book called The Unspoken Game. You can look up all these different books on Running for Christ Ministries, rfcm.org, or bbtfus.com. Okay? And then, you know, if you want to shout your business out again, you could do that at the end. And so let me see who we have. We're going to talk to, so govern yourselves according to all the information that we presented to you today. I hope you were able to get some of it down. We'll have all that information that AV gave us today, if you didn't get it all, on the website. Okay? All right. Hey, we moving. Like Pastor said, we moving this train. This train is moving. And we're going to be doing great things, and the kids are going to be great doing great things, and then we can feel safe in our homes when we know all the kids are getting everything that they need to make it in this world, okay? Because they're going to be busy, and we're going to have them busy. Yeah, they're not going to be around here throwing chicken at your windows and bricks and rocks and doing all the things that they that the kids like to do, because we're going to have them, like, totally busy, okay? I can't wait. Okay, so we have with us today, let's see, Angelita Cox, and she is responsible for making all of my little flyers for my Black History Celebration, you know, and they were just so beautiful and just so bright and inviting. And she's very, very talented in the things that she does. And she's one of those people that does a lot. I know Steve Harvey, you know, he's involved in a whole lot of things. And so one day he said, you got to make horizontal money, you know, horizontal money. Just do everything. Go across here, be here making money, be there making money. You can let money make money for you, okay? And so Angelita, which you call her Googie for short, you know, I'm not used to saying Angelita. She is one of those people that's just like horizontal. She is everywhere. She's very talented and does a lot of things. So Angelita Googie Cox, tell us what it is all that you do that keeps you busy, because you are busy. Very dependable, too. I could call her at any time of the night, any day, you know, and disturb her. And she's right there for whatever it is I need her to do. Talk to us.
Yes, with your many, many, many ideas.
Love it. I'm just glad somebody understand me.
I understand.
And then it's good to have somebody that'll, you know, just get into it with you, you know. My sister was like that at one time. She was like, she knew that I had a problem. We all got a little mental illness going on, you know. And, you know, you got these ideas coming. You need people that's going to jump and run when you run, you know. When you get ready to run, you got to have somebody to run with you.
Yeah,
I like that. And I know, and I know that, you know, I like to help people. I like to help the youth. I like to help and just see everybody doing well, you know. And so I was like, I went to this seminar one time, and I asked this person that was doing the seminar. I said, you know, I know how to help everybody else. I know how to give everybody advice. I know how to, you know, get them going, get them in business, get them doing this, get them doing that. I say, but I don't know how to help myself. You know, I got all these things that I like to do or want to do, you know. I say, but how can I help myself get to, you know, do the things that I want to do, encourage myself, you know. And so he told me, he said, well, what you have to do, he said that he said that wasn't uncommon. So then I said, okay, well, maybe I'm not crazy, you know. And he said he's heard that before. He said that's very common. He said what you have to do is you have to get somebody that you help to help you. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, and so that's what I started doing. I started getting people, you know, that I've helped to help me, you know. So that was some good advice. So I'm getting better. I'm getting better with helping myself.
You really are.
It's still a little mental illness going on there, I think. But, hey, well, I got a touch of it. So go ahead. Let me stop talking. And you talk about forget about me. Talk about you. Go ahead.
No. I mean, like you said, that you helped me, so I'm helping you. The advice you gave me and how you helped me, I'm just returning it to you.
Oh,
and I
cool.
appreciate
Great. Well, thank you, and I appreciate you as well. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do. God know who I need. He know who I need. Yeah,
but
so tell us about everything you do.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Angelita also Googie, what everybody calls me. But I had a business before. We still have a business, myself and my husband, Anthony Cox. It was a photo booth business. And we started that in 2016. And we were doing really good. He retired from the military in 2015. So because he was on doing things, we had to find something. We got an opportunity to, you know, get into this business. It was doing good. Then 2020 came and the pandemic shut everything down. So myself, my job shut down. And unfortunately, I also was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2020. So I was trying to keep my mind focused. So I was trying new things. You know, I even tried to learn how to knit, sew, everything, just to keep going. And I thought, you know, it made me think, my job is shut down, so I'm stuck. And I didn't want to be in that position anymore to where, you know, something gets shut down and I have no income, have three kids in college. Thought about it, I said, well, you know, what I love to do. I've always loved to create. My kids, you know, they were always active. So I always, you know, was at the store. Let's do this. Let's make a poster. Let's do this. You know, when they ran for homecoming, king and queen, I was always creating something, even for other kids. So I said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And that's when I started Angels Creations. I do T-shirts, flyers, invitations, anything, keychains. I can custom any and everything. And I realized that was my happy place. I was so excited, even with helping Kathy, my aunt. You know, she motivates me. She doesn't know it, but she helps me and pushes me. Like, okay, let me do this new thing. Let me do that new thing. Okay, let me make this flyer a little, you know, with her 50 million ideas. And no, you know, change that. But I enjoy it. And it's something that I really enjoy. And I thank her because she's always, you know, texting me, hey, I got this idea. Okay, well, let me, you know, think of this. So it keeps me going. And I think that's one thing, bringing it back to the youth with, you know, my nieces and nephews and my own children. You know, you have to really invest in them. And I always tell them, hey, do something that you love. You know, my niece, Ava, I talked to her. I said, hey, you know, what do you like to do? She said, make jewelry. I said, okay. I said, let's make a plan. I said, you get all your investors, your mom, your dad, me, and, you know, we're going to invest in your product. You know, my daughter, she does desserts. Went to Joann's. I said, here's an investment. You know, it's something that you love, and it keeps you going. And when you give that person that, and it's from the heart, because that's what I say, Angels Creations, made from the heart, and they're so excited, and they're calling you. That makes you feel really good inside because you made someone else happy. And also, what really made me really get into it a lot, this lady, she's a black lady. I found her on Facebook. She made two bracelets for my aunt, some chains, and a ribbon for my granddad when he passed. And that made me feel so good. I said, you know what? I want to be able to do that for other people. You know, even if it's a shirt, a cup, a mug, just to make them feel happy and, you know, that keep that memory going. So that's why I kept it going. And I enjoy it. It has its bumps sometimes, but the end product makes me realize, hey, you know, this is what your passion is, and this is what makes you happy in life. Because you can go to work every day for someone else, but you're really not happy. So it's the point of what makes you happy in life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Great. So you do the photo booth, and where can they get in touch with you with the photo booth and your create? I love that. Angel Creations Made from the Heart. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
It is. That's powerful. I love that.
Thank you.
I didn't know that was all about. I know it was Angel Creations, but I didn't know you had that little slogan, Made from the Heart. I love that.
Yeah, because it's made from the heart because I love what I do. So that's why I put made from the heart.
All right.
Yeah, but
heart
the
and
photo
go together.
Booth, yeah, yes, it really does. The photo booth is Moments to Memories, and that's on Facebook. Also, my number, if anybody wants to write it down, 313-574-4206. And Angels Creation is also on Facebook also, because I know we have a lot of graduations coming up. I also do, water bottles, anything. If you text me, call me, hey, can you do this? Yes. If I don't know, I'll learn and figure it out and get it to you.
All right. Yeah, she's a real a creative being. It's like my oldest sister. It's my oldest sister's child, and she was always very, very creative and different, and just like extra, extra smart. So she passed that on to her her kids, and very creative. And another niece, her name is Alicia. Very, I don't know what to say. Very creative in her dress. She can make anything. She sews and just very, very creative. And if you want your house like totally cleaned out and redone, I don't know if you guys remember, what is that movie called? Sleeping with the Enemy, where they had all the cans, meat in the cabinets, and this man was just like a what's the word for that? He was like a neat, and everything had to be in order. Well, she is like that, totally in order, and she'll go in and she'll line your clothes up in the closet so neat, and just have the whole room looking just everything in order. And so it's amazing what she does to a house. So all that's just creativity. And so, yes, Angel Creations from the Heart. I love that. And like you said, you have three young folks in college. And three of those young folks are Shania, Jordan, and Tony, Anthony Cox. They were on the show with the college kids, all three of them, and they spoke very well. And that just lets you know that this mama and daddy, they've been busy. They've been busy keeping their kids busy, and they were just in everything, and they had a lot of support. People would go to their, their games and all of their events and things like that. Shania was the first black young lady to win the homecoming queen at Lincoln Park. Was that Lincoln Park High School? And then Tony came right behind her when he graduated, and he was the homecoming queen. So, they are very special children.
Also with Lincoln Park High School, Tony and Jordan started a club. Well, it wasn't a club per se, but they started, it was during Black History Month, and they started this, they went to the museum, just bringing awareness, because a lot of schools, they cut it out. They may say a little, but they cut it out. They had T-shirts. They went downtown to the museum. They started a whole club. The principal went and everything, So, they started a lot of different things in Lincoln Park High School.
Okay. All right. What was it that they started?
Really proud of them.
What was it?
It was, I can't remember the name, but it was just, it wasn't just for Black History Month. It was basically all year round, just bringing awareness to Black youth and
awareness. Okay. About Black and our things that we do. That
Yes, Black excellence.
Okay, so history.
Black. Oh, it was Black excellence.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
Okay,
so
they
still doing that. Yeah, and they're still doing that now, even though they're out of school. Yeah.
Okay, so they carried it on. The school is still doing it.
Excellent.
So they did a lot of, that's great. They stopped.
But
stuff.
I'm not going to take Go ahead.
No, I wasn't saying
that. I didn't want to take too much time, you know, but myself and my husband, Anthony, we always get asked, what did you do? How did you do it? And it wasn't easy because we were young parents. But I think it was just the point of being there, being supportive, being that cheerleader, investing, not far as financially. You know, it's financially, yes, of course, but just time, you know, motivating, you know, giving examples, showing. You know, we were, if it was an event, we're making stuff, we're there. Our presence was known in the school. Every single, they stayed in Lincoln Park School District, and they knew us throughout that whole district. So just being involved helps a whole lot. I mean, really, because I know their friends, I don't know the situation, sometimes the parents can't make it, but we were always there, and they would be so excited because someone else is cheering them on. So it's just, you got to be there. You, mentally, you know, it's a lot, but it's a lot for them also. So you just got to, you know, really support, be there, be their motivation, their cheerleader.
Yeah, that, and that's just sacrifice. It's pure sacrifice because when you decided to kiss and have those kids, then, you know, sacrifice. some sacrifice went into that. You have to have a plan for them because they didn't ask, they didn't ask to come here. So
no, they didn't. No.
So I'm excited about what you've done with them, and they are such good, down the earth, wholesome wholesome kids that are adults now.
Yeah.
And they were already groomed and ready for college. One went away, the next one was ready to looking forward to going. And the next one, he was looking forward to going, and he went up there and hung out with them. You know.
Yeah.
Left you guys an empty nest, and y'all started feeling some kind of way, but
I'm not used to it.
they are all away and doing it, doing them, you know. And you made a way for them, and that's what it's all about, making a way for the kids so they can make it. So now you and Mr. Cox, y'all can just, you know, rekindle some stuff and spend some time with yourselves. Look how that sounds. That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful with no kids in the house. Yeah, it sounds good. No kids in the house. You know?
Well, we still have nieces and nephews, so we're so used to keep it going. So now it's like we're nieces and nephews time.
That's right. That's right. Got to keep it going. Yeah, because, I mean, your house is one of those houses that all the kids like to be at, so you really never get rid of them. My goodness.
Oh, no. You really don't. No, they want to come over every weekend. They didn't even, Tony's nieces and nephews, well, I won't say just his, but mine too, they didn't even want to go to school. Because I said, well, you can come over, but you got school tomorrow. Well, no, we can't just, we don't got to go to school. Well, no, you got to go to school.
Go to school. Go to school from there. Right.
Well, I don't know.
And
we haven't, you know, we've gotten used to the not waking up too early for school. They may be late.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you got two dogs that's just like really part of the family. They are like some real home dogs. They they want love just like the kids do. They be like, look, you see me, don't you?
Oh,
you
yeah,
come over,
yes,
you better give
are.
Them some attention. They're going to jump on you and knock you down and get their attention and kiss you and everything.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's great. Yeah, so that's what you call an investment. You have to put the time in and be the example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They gave them something to look forward to and just being on site, being available, just being there, you know. And they know that our parents, that they're going to be here at the school, so we have to act right. We have to, you know, be on our best behavior because they're going to be here any minute, or they're going to pop in, you know. So that's a good thing to have parents on site at all times.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Being involved. That is great. And really, that is what it takes in a nutshell, in a big old bag. It takes that kind of investment, putting the time in, just being there. Even coming home, and they know that either mama or daddy going to be there. I know we never had keys. We knew that one of them were going to be there. Mostly mama was going to be there at the house, and we didn't have to worry about anything. We were safe, and we didn't have to worry about anything but going to school and coming back, you know. So that's very important. That the kids, they want you to be there. They want you to be there. And it's all about sacrifice. We can't just go to work and work 24 hours and we have kids, you know, that we have to see about, because they're only going to be kids for a short while. So we have to put that time in, you know, until they could, you know, fend for themselves. Thank you so much, Angelita Googie Cox. I don't think nobody has their right name. We always got some kind of nickname. So, yeah.
No, we don't.
So everybody has, sometimes you don't even know people's real names. You give them these nicknames. Oh, that's your real name?
Yeah.
You call them by those nicknames so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is great. So Angel's Creations, made from the heart. Who cannot resist that? Who cannot resist that? Let me see if anybody have any questions that they might want to ask. Ms. Cox, you're welcome to press 1, and I can open up your mic, and you can, you know, ask her some questions or have a word to say or anything. Okay. Here we go. Somebody want to ask a question. 6695. Hey, hello.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Well, just wonderful. How are you?
Good. Hello, Miss Cox. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Miss Angelita, besides what you've been through, what else inspired you to start the business that you have?
Good question. What else inspired me? My children. I wanted to show them that doing something and investing in something that you love to do, you know, the outcome and the feeling is amazing. So I always wanted to let them know, like, you know, invest in yourself, because that's the best thing you can ever do.
The reason why I'm asking that is because the Lord has laid it on my heart to help other people who have physical challenges get wheelchair accessible transportation for themselves or for their disabled loved ones. How would I go about doing that?
All of them. But I know there's some programs out there. And there are a lot of grants out there also that would help us.
Wheelchair accessible van for the disabled child. How would I go about doing that? I guess what I'm trying to ask is,
okay,
what I was told to do is to become a verbal wheelchair van information advocate. How would I go about doing that? Would I have to make my own flyers, or how would I go about doing that?
Oh, that's a good question, right? So we're going to investigate that for you, Terrence. And we'll work together to try to get that dream come true, okay?
Okay.
Miss Angelita can make your flyers and do whatever it is you need to do to get the word out there, okay? But we're going to investigate that. So everybody heard what Terrence's dream was, and if anybody had any information with that, you know, with his concern, we could help him do that, and we will. But if anybody got any information, reach out to us and let us know, okay? All right. All right, 9448.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, wonderful. Oh, awesome. Oh, hey.
Hey, real quick on what Terrence was talking about. He's talking about two ways of going at that. Same question came up when I wanted to start Running for Christ. I didn't want to be a church so I could try to offer up God a ministry of some sort, and he would accept that. But, of course, he wanted a church, so it became a church. But one of the things I learned was 501c3s and 170b charitable organizations and how to set them up. What Terrence has can be one of two things. He could gather information from every source he could possibly find that helps people to get. He could do what Avetrius does. She goes out and she goes here, there, to this person, that person, and she gathers all the information she can, and then she brings it to me, and I post it on the website. And so that's her Jobs to Jail ministry and her Jobs Plus ministry under the cover of Runner for Christ Ministries. It's one of the things that we do, and she runs that. That's one way that Terrence can go about that, is that he simply creates either a website of his own or put a page on somebody's website and then make that offer to them. But the moment you start receiving $1 in donations, you got a problem. Because the government views every entity two ways. Either you're a nonprofit or a for-profit. If you don't have a 501c3 or a 70B or whatever 501 covers your area of ministry work, like Red Cross, schools, hospitals, whatever it is that you're doing, that you want to be a tax-exempt organization, when you start receiving money, then you need to be a ministry. You need to be a ministry. Other than that, they're going to view you as a for-profit entity. And they're going to, the money you receive, they will, you can call it a donation all you want. They're going to view it as your income. And they're going to tax it as such. So it's as if you have a business.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have a problem with that because you don't actually have a business. There's no assumed name, no DBA. There's no license for it or whatever you need to do that in whatever city you need to have that in. You have none of that. And then there's another problem. Folks give you money, and then tax time comes, they file it on their taxes. Well, of course, they're going to get a letter from the IRS saying, we denied that deduction because that charitable organization you gave to don't exist according to our records. So one way is to simply do what Avitris does, go under the cover of somebody or create your own website, and then you can pass out all the information you want, and people can contact you, you can contact them, no problems with any government entity. But the moment you take receive, somebody gives you a donation, then you got a problem. That's when you need to set up a 501c3. And see, what I learned from Pastor Tate, Janice Tate, who has her own ministry, Bondage Breakers, when I signed up back in 2003, I had to have the IRS to help me to get through the application or pay somebody. Mm-hmm. They wanted $875. I wasn't doing that. I just read it and did it. You know what I'm saying? So, but now she tells me that it's a whole lot simpler for you to get that approved, to get it through, and you can operate as a 501c3, receive donations. So there's two ways you could do it. Set up a 501c3, become a ministry, or just like you, Kathy, right now, this is a ministry, but the government's not concerned about it until you start receiving donations, and then they'll want to, then that's when you got to do something. You got to become a ministry. But other than that, you can just keep doing it like this. So Terrence can do the exact same thing, and he doesn't have to go through all of that 501c3, 170B charitable organization stuff, that designation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
okay.
One of those two should get you through.
Okay.
Right. See there, see how quick the information came, Terrence?
I will go with there. I'll probably create my own website somehow.
Okay.
That's not hard either.
Mm-hmm.
That's not hard
either.
Yeah.
There's a place called ourchurch.com that has a software package called NE1. And what they mean is NE1. And what they really saying is anyone can do it. And to this date, I've set up four of them. And even that's easier than when I did it back in 2003. So they're out there, and you can do all kinds of things on a website. So
okay,
mm-hmm.
I will take a day and figure out how I want my the website set up.
All right, good. See that? Look how fast you got your information. And if anybody else have any more information. So, yeah, Terrence, like you said, you could just start doing it. Do what you want to do. You know, like you said, until you start receiving funds. But I think you just want to find places that will donate wheelchairs to people that need them in their homes for disabled families.
Not donate. I want to tell other people how they can go out, where they can go to purchase a wheelchair van or where they can go to get their, So okay. I mainly just want to be a verbal wheelchair man advocate.
Okay. Well, hey, jump in. Pastor will help you. He helped me.
Yeah.
I already know who I need to help me, because I'm a little different. I'm just like, okay, I need this
yep.
right now. And he sent the people that can really help me, because they know, because God know when I need help, I need it like right then. So that where he knows who to send. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he'll help you. He'll help you, and we'll help you, and we'll get that going. Okay. Thanks, Terrence.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anybody else want have anything that they want to talk about with business? Or you want to shout your business out? You know, anything. We have let's see, Lauren Clyburn. He has his wine trolley. And he was supposed to be on today, and then he got a book. He got a call at the last minute to book between 4 and 6. So now he was not able to be on. He wants me to call him, but I could just tell you, you know, a little bit about it. Let me see, Miss. Pierce, are you anywhere in the mix? Let me see. Okay. I saw her, but I don't see her now. Okay, so yeah. Miss Pierce, if you're online, just hit 1. Okay. Yeah, so he has his name is Lauren Clyburn. He has a wine trolley, and it's downtown Detroit. And they just ride around, and they taste, kind of, you know, sip wine from all over the world, different tastes. And they tell you about the wine, the different flavors and things like that, and where it's from, give you a little history on it. And then they listen to music, and they just ride around through downtown city, and it's very, very fun. It's fun, and it's just a nice outing for anyone to have. When he gets a chance, he can come on and tell us all about it. Okay. I think that you can make a call from and call a guest, but I don't want to mess up anything and cut anybody off. So when he gets a chance, a free moment, he can we'll have him on again. And then we'll have some information about his trolley. It's just like the trolley, you know how to on the cartoon or the kids show, they have Mr. Trolley's, what's that, Trolley Neighborhood, and they just ride around on a trolley. So it's something like that, but it's for adults. And I guess it could be for young people too. They could just have them some, you know, some pop or something riding around, and they could play their music. But it's really a nice, nice thing to do, to have something to do for you know, an outing. Yep. Okay, so Ms. Cotton, is anybody else that want to talk about their business? They are welcome to do it. Let me see. One person. That's a 5374. Hello, you're on Bring Back the Family. 5374.
Yes, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Auntie. This is Anthony Cox.
Oh, hey, Anthony. Tony.
Hey, Mr. how you
Cox,
doing?
Sergeant. Well, wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good. What you want to talk to us about today?
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to a few things that, you know, other things that we have going on business wise within the family. I have my my personal defense security. Also, a little bit of private investigating business that I do. And also want to just give a shout out to my parents' business that that they have. I've worked with them for several years, probably about maybe around 20 years total, and maybe actually a little bit longer than that, because before my mother took over from my uncle, it was my uncle's business. But they have a security business that they specialize in private contracts, church contracts. We have a lot of church contracts. We had a contract with Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. We currently also have a contract with Hartford Memorial Baptist Church over on 7 Mile. And there's about five other churches that we provide security for. And also personally, I provide security for a lot of pastors, private security for a lot of pastors throughout the Detroit and greater Metro Detroit area, and also all the way out to Pontiac with Woodside Bible Church. And so I want to just talk about some of the training that I do and I provide for the security company. I provide active shooter training. Unfortunately, we live in unpredictable times, and there are evil people in the world, and we have to try to mitigate security risks by providing security and teaching staff at churches the proper procedures and self-defense tactics in case there's a scenario in a church where something happens. And it's not also, it's not just for security threats. It's also for first aid threats. I'm a certified combat lifesaver. So I have medical training that I provide in situations where there may be an incident where someone is experiencing a medical emergency. And also, you know, I teach the staff of some of these churches. They have established security ministries inside the church. So I provide training to those individuals that are in charge and that participate in the security for the churches, indoors and outdoors. And also, so I just want to just, you know, mention that and let everyone know that that is a service that, that we also provide as a family. And we've been in business over 20 years. And on the personal side, though, my personal business with the self-defense tactics, and I provide training for women to defend themselves in situations, and also kids, and I'm working on expanding that. But I've been in business just for myself under Armed Vigilant and Ready, AVR Tactical Solutions. I've been in that for 2 years. And, you know, I'm also an Army veteran, and I've had training in firearm safety, firearms training, a simulated training, and there's just a whole other list of trainings I have that I've added to my resume. So, once again, that's Armed Vigilant and Ready Tactical, AVR Tactical, and the company name for my parents' company is Secure One Security. So I just wanted to add that, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak, and thank you for what you do, because it's really needed in the community. So that's all I have.
Beautiful. What's the name of that armed? What now?
Armed, Vigilant, and Ready. It's AVR
Vigilant.
Tactical. Yes, Armed, Vigilant, and Ready.
ABR okay, you guys come up with some great names. You guys come up with some really powerful names. Armed, Vigilant, and Ready. Okay, and I like the self-defense tactics, so we're going to have to get us a group together so you can teach us how to defend ourselves. Cool, I like that. Okay, guys, you heard all of that. That is powerful right there. And so where would they, how would they contact you? Through?
They me directly. My number is 313-693-5374. And that number is also good for Secure One Services. I'm also a captain in that company. And that's Secure One Services.
Busy. Secure One Services. Horizontal. Okay, great. We got that information. We're going to have that put on our website. That way we can have that information. Well, thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome.
You are busy. You're busy. Okay. So those are the things that, you know, our kids could do anything. They could do anything. Just come up with a business. They could, you know, get trained. They go into the armed forces and get trained, have all those things up under their belt. And we have to, you know, get them ready for that. Okay? Let's see. I think I saw Mr. Pierce somewhere in here. Oh, I keep losing her. I don't know. Oh, there she goes. Ms. Pierce, do you want to talk about mobile fine wine?
I want to know.
Oh, boy, Ms. Pierce. You, Mr. Pierce, I tell you. It's always a party. Watching gun smoke and stuff. Okay, so, hey. Anybody else have anything else that they want to ask any questions? Okay. We had a lot of callers today. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Just want to say thank you again to Angelita for doing all the flyers for the Black History Celebration. Thank Pastor O for his spot that I could take on his blog talk show because I was having some issues with my number and people weren't able to get in. So thank you. Like I said, God knows who to send my way. They always make everything just right. And if anybody else have anything that they want to say, let me see. Okay. I think we've gotten everybody. Thanks, Angelita, for being with us and sharing your business with
us. You're welcome.
She does great work. She really does. She does great work, and she's always willing and ready. I know my brother was talking earlier about what was going on over in Ukraine, and I told him, I said, well, jump in and start the conversation, and maybe somebody can help you with that. You know, like always, it's always some kind of, I don't know how to put it, preference or, well, what the problem was is that they're letting, he was sent me a video where the Africans are not able to get on the trains to leave Ukraine. And when they do get on a train, they give them excuses and make them get off of the train. So they're only letting certain people on. And, you know, wherever we go, it's always going to be someone that's going to, you know, make a difference or cause some trouble for you. You know, that's why we have to just keep praying and depend on God. Well, so I don't know if he wants to talk about it. Where is he? Pastor O, are you still there?
Yeah,
you,
I'm
you
here.
Can come up and get ready to, you know, give us our closing conversation. Like, you know.
Hey, I had a really quick question.
That's it.
Angelique, does she do like church logos, makeup logos, things like that, based on the name of your church? Like, we're Runner for Christ Ministries. What would something like that look like? Or my email address, if you go to pastorgmo.com and click on contact, my email address is there. The name of our church is Runner for Christ, and our motto is teaching, learning, and doing. We don't have a what is that, a trademark or some kind of something, a logo or whatever, something like that. We was interested in something like that because I saw your work, and I was like, wow, that's printing. Compared to what I used to do, that's printing. What I used to do was... I really don't know what it was, but it wasn't what I saw. So if we could get with that, that would be good. We could get together, and then we could finally have ourselves a logo or whatever it is that goes, you know, well, trademark or whatever that thing is.
Yes, we can get together and do that. I would love that.
Okay, work up something, because I have no ideas. It's Runner for Christ, so whatever that gives you, work up something from that, and then you can email it to me, and then we can look at it, and then I can take it to the executive board, and they can look at it, and then we can see if we want you to go ahead and run with it.
I sure will, and I appreciate it.
Hey. Thank you. We'll greatly appreciate it.
You know, Pastor quick thing. I remember coming to see you preach on 4th Street. I think it was a hall when you first started out.
Right.
But I've been listening to you way then.
Oh, hey.
Congratulations on everything. You know, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And thanks for listening ever since then. We appreciate that.
Yes.
It helps to know, you know, I do this blog talk stuff a lot, and I really don't get to meet a lot of people that I have ministered to. So one day last week, my wife and I was in Sam's Club, and this lady walks up. She knew my wife, and she said hi, and then my wife said, pointed at me, and she said, yeah, I see him every day on Facebook. So it was good to see a face that I've been dealing with on Facebook. So it's good to hear you. So you know what I'm saying? So God bless. And now all these years later, you're going to do our church logo.
Yes. Yes. I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, she's going to do my logo too. We've been tossing some things around. So I can't wait to bring that together.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So, thanks, Pastor. So, any more questions? Let's see what time it is. Oh, it's 5:40. So, any more questions? We could probably kind of wrap it up if we want to. Just share this show with others. When I send you information, then share it so that this awareness that's going on, you know, about our kids can get out and we can start to focus on our youth, you know, when we send. That'll give us something to do as far as, you know, what we're going to do for God before we leave here. You know, we have to leave them some. We just can't keep leaving here without leaving, you know, the next generation in a better position than what they have. We have to start to leave them something and make sure that they have something that they can pass on. Okay, Pastor, you got something to wrap it up?
Well, sort of what your brother was talking about, Jeffrey. is the thing in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Everybody's concerned about that. And, you know, we love the Lord a whole lot, so we wouldn't dare say out loud, how could God let this happen? Is Jesus blind? Does he not care about the suffering of all these people? Well, you know, when Jesus was here walking on earth, I wrote a paper on it, and I think it published in the paper or whatever, or it's published somewhere, maybe even on my website, under what's called Good Morning Church. But anyway, what the paper was about is what's in chapter 13, because I used to wonder too, you know, because after I got saved, I saw a lot of bad, crazy things happening, especially where I was and hanging out. I saw a lot of crazy things happening. And I wondered, you know, like some people kept asking me, if God is so good, why does he allow all this craziness to happen? Well, you know, if we look at Job's life, we get to the end of that whole thing. We know it all started in heaven. It didn't start on earth. You know, the Sabaeans or Chaldeans didn't just go after Job before Satan got permission, or the fire didn't fall from heaven. We call it lightning. They called it fire falling from heaven and killed all his kids. And, of course, the Sabaeans and Chaldeans raided his place and took all his livestock and animals and things. And so one day the richest man, next day the poorest man. But everybody around knew Job and knew he was, as the Lord said, a righteous man. How could this stuff happen to a man like that? Where is God when all this stuff's happening? And so we look at Ukraine today and we wonder, where is God? And how does he just let Russia bomb these people like that, these men, women, and children? Well, that question came up when Jesus was here. His disciples, I guess they were walking around hearing all Jesus' sermons and hearing all this good stuff. He's talking about what he's here to do. I'm here to do this, that, and the other. And so it's strange how it happened. In Luke chapter 13, it simply starts out like this. Now, there was some present. Now, who was present? What do you mean there was some present? Okay? Wherever Jesus was, there were some people there that was present there. And at this time, they told Jesus about the Galileans. See, Jesus was from Galilee, from Nazareth, that little crappy town, but that's where he was from, right? And so they told him about people they thought he would care more about because he's a Galilean, they're Galileans. They didn't always get treated as well as the folks who lived in Jerusalem. That's why they would say things like, can anything good come from Nazareth? Or search the scriptures, you'll see that no prophets come from Galilee. So they weren't looked at all that hot. And so some of them came to Jesus and thought because they were Galileans, he's a Galilean, he might care more about this and do something to Pilate. They said Pilate had killed some people, sort of like Antiochus did during the intertestamental period, and mixed their blood with the sacrifices. Now, that was something that was totally abhorrent to the Jews, and they're hoping that this might be the same to to them, to Jesus, that it would be so abhorrent that he would do something. Well, Jesus sort of changed the whole subject. He said, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? So he knew they suffered. It wasn't, they weren't bringing him any news. What he is doing is raising it to a whole nother level. And he said, I tell you the truth, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will always likewise perish. Now watch, Jesus is going to bring up something to them. He says, or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? We would tend to say it must be something about them Ukrainians if God is letting them be attacked like that. sooner or later, once we can't stop what's happening, we begin to believe they deserve it. That's just the way we are. But that's not the truth. Now, what I want you to notice here is that there, Jesus didn't answer their questions about, did he know about these people? Yes, he did. And what am I going to do about them? He didn't even go there. He went to whether they were going to perish or not. And that word perish is the same word he used in John 3:16. Thou shalt not perish if you believe in Jesus. So that means eternal separation from God. So Jesus said eternal separation from God is worse. Now, when we look at what's happening in Ukraine and try to understand that, now, in Europe, racism is kind of different than racism is here in America. Okay, over there, it's more of a national thing or a class thing. It's not exactly like it is here, even though when you hear the news reports, they say it's about color. Okay, but their racism is kind of different from ours because you can be European in this. For instance, the Romans hated the barbarians, but the barbarians were just as European as they were, just as white as they were, but they hated them because they weren't educated like the Romans, so they viewed them as less than. And so black folks in Europe and certain nations are viewed less than. The favored nations, whoever is doing the thing, they're going to favor somebody. In this country, of course, we know whites would be first and everybody else second or whatever, okay? But when you see these people being treated like that, it's the same person who went after Job. It's the same person who told Pilate to mix those people's blood with that. We cannot blame the people that's doing it. The demons that are using these people to do that, they're the problem. And that's why Jesus raised this concern to a whole nother level. Because the truth be told, in our whole life, we may never understand why God allows certain things to happen or allow certain people to be treated so badly. Black folks, we had our part in this too. We're Egyptians, right? We're North Africa, we're Africans. Well, North Africans held Israel in chattel slavery for 430 years. How could God let that happen? So when we see these things in our modern days, that thing happened, it was the devil working through Pharaoh to stop God's people from progressing. It's that same devil at them train stops that's saying, push them black people back. Let these white people on. It's not that the devil favors white people. He wants a riot to break out. He wants people to start killing each other. Putin has no idea why he's in Russia. But here's something that we all need to get to. He's only doing what God's allowing him to do. I know we hate to say that or even think that because as these people came to Jesus with that, why are these people being treated so badly? And what are you going to do about it? Jesus raises it to a whole nother level. Now, the reason he does that is because we would not live long enough to understand. We'd have to understand before a person was born why they committed that act. Because everything that happened in their life before they committed that act led up to that. Each person that said, you black people get back, that didn't just happen that day. Their whole life bred them for that moment. We tend to think an instant. When we see something, we think about it in an instant. But that thing was built up over years before that act ever happened. And so for us to understand why God allows us as black folks to be treated so badly, well, then how did God understand black folks treating Israel so badly for 430 years? And I think we've been in this for how long? Don't you reap what you sow? But the Lord has been merciful to us. So when we see those black folks being mistreated like that, the best thing we can do is tell God about it, because he completely understands. We only understand from what we see. But God see the whole picture, and he got this thing wrote out all the way to Revelation. So our little life, even if we live 150 years, we don't live as long as Methuselah, 969. So how much difference we going to make? What we need to pay attention to is when we see stuff like that, pray about it, tell God about it, because you can't do nothing about it. Just tell God about it. And then make sure that you're leading a quiet life, you're minding your own business, you're working with your own hands, gaining respect of those who are outside of the body of Christ, and then you won't be dependent on anybody for anything but him. And so why people get treated like that, we hate that. But in the big picture, we'd have to know the whole picture from Genesis to the end of Revelation to even begin to understand, why did he let that happen? Why did God keep Israel in slavery for 430 years, then let them out, knowing they was going to go to the wilderness, lose faith, and crap straight out? But their kids made it. Then they crapped straight out. And it just kept happening. And it's still happening to this day. So why do these things happen, and how are we supposed to feel about it? Well, we don't want to return the favor. That's for sure. We don't want to act like them. We want to act like Christ. When they treated Christ, well, Christ said, Jesus said, what did Michelle Obama tell you? When they go low, where do you go high? Because where is Jesus? He ain't low. So we have to take the high road, even though we don't understand why. I don't know if my phone is ringing or... I think my phone was ringing.
Uh-oh. Hello. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I saw my phone was ringing. I heard it ringing. I'm like, how's this thing ringing? And I'm on it. Jesus called.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Kenny. Did you hear all of that? That was my brother Kenny. He was concerned about sent me that article. Okay. He don't want to call and voice his opinion. He's a little shy. Okay. Well, hey, that's going to wrap up. Are you done, Pastor O?
I am good. I am good. I've gotten a lot accomplished here.
Oh, good. Yes, sir. Thank you. Good show today, and just thank everybody for tuning in. I don't know what else to say. We just thank everybody for tuning in and listening, and all the participants, and everything that happened for our Black History program. And, you know, it's time to do some great things, to continue to do great things, bring our kids up so they could do great things. And I'm just excited about, you know, things that we're going to be doing very, very soon, and we'll be able to tell you all about it. Eventually, I'm going to be doing a podcast. That's my next project, and my nephew, Andrew, was on last week, and he immediately called me and said, Kat, I love, you know, your what you're doing. He said, you really should do a podcast, he said, because you could reach more people. And so he wasn't the first one that said it, but when he said it, I said, okay, it's, you know, I'm good with that. So I'm working on that, and, you know, we just expect for great things to happen now. And in the future. That's it. It's all about the kids. It's all about the youth, and us just making sure that they have what they need to make it in this life and in this world. Okay? That's all it's about, helping the youth to get where they need to be so they'll be okay. Okay? Because we okay. We okay. We have what we need. So it's time for us to reach back, pull them up, you know, and give them what they need. I'm sure you guys can feel me. That's all what it's about, you know. We ain't going to be here forever. And so let's just make a difference while we're here, okay? All right. That's it for Bring Back the Family. Just share the information. Let's start supporting our black businesses, you know, because we count. We have good stuff, too. And you know, support our black businesses. Look on the website and look at some of those books and purchase some of those books and give them to somebody. You know, it's a lot that we could do. Go to, like I said, to the dollar store and get some workbooks for the kids, and just tell them to do those assignments in those books, because a lot of our kids are growing up, getting out of school, and they can't read, you know. Take some time out with these kids and let them read to you. You know, we know how to do this. We know how to do this. Yes, we do. Yeah. So it's all about the kids. Let's focus on the kids. Let's give them what we have. And, you know, hey, that's it. So thank everybody for tuning in. And we will see you next week, same time, same place. All right? Over and out. Things for ourselves.
like the bus.